see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon, early part of the week. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this program. Bring to you the up-to-date, true background of this conspiracy. You know, what's in the Bible, the King James Bible, the events there are real. People like to think they're not. Even the president, former president, old Bush, he says, he was asked in an interview, do you think that the Bible's literally true? Nah, not really. They're SDA, Seventh-day Adventist types. That family, it's a religion that people hang on to. After all, you got 37,000 different sects of Christianity. And they all have different beliefs, doctrine. Some radical, some not so radical. But they're different. Opposite, contradictory. Somebody's wrong. Can't all be the same. Can't have 37,000 different ways that God wants us to know who He is, what His laws are. That's common sense. So we pick what we like and go about our lives, because we're comfortable. God's got a set standard. It's called Ten Commandments. He's got one Bible, called the King James Bible. And for now, it stands until the falling away, and that's coming soon. Family, what's on TV, even to the point of Ferguson and Bundy Ranch and all this stuff, Occupy Wall Street, all that mess. That is a scripted part of it, literally, literally, scripted out. The scription today is just racial. So, the Council of Foreign Relations brings their media together. Okay, nationwide, here's what we're going to print. See this article here? I want you all to have this out by, 6 o'clock on Wednesday. He's talking to the entire nation. To have that one article put out throughout the world or throughout the nation. And eventually throughout the world because of internet. So they create an event in Timbuktu, Missouri, or Timbuktu, Florida. They have it set up like a movie. And we all think it's real. A white cop shoots a black whatever. A whatever shoots a black cop. Whatever. Here we go. And they start putting that in the articles. They have the articles already printed. White cop closes down lemonade stand of white girl. And make sure this is put out throughout the world. Oh, they've done that. I'm not making this up. Look it up. Police shut down lemonade stand for a little girl. They got a way of doing it, man. Sometimes I just laugh at it. It's sad, but that's how they do it. They discuss it around a round table in the Council of Foreign Relations. That's how they control the media nationwide. You'll have some of the same stations of major networks saying exactly the same paragraph. It's ridiculous. And they're counting on you, America, not to connect the dots because you're too busy. You're too busy marching, saying, we got a tyrannical government, we got a tyrannical government, blah, 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 blah. And you're done with the march, and you go home, and that's it. Next day, you might do it again. Walk around in circles and with a little card, place cards and all this. It's done, it's over, it's it. That's all. You go home. It's like a flash mob, except this one is a flash mob with walking posters. You go home, nothing's ever... You're finished with your march, it's over. Okay. Nothing's ever done. Then you got the other side. Oh. With ammonium nitrate. Putting a bomb here and a bomb there. Threatening lives. This is the Liberation Party, whatever. We demand that you, or this is going to happen. It's all played out. CIA, FBI controls it. You've got good FBI agents. You have good police officers, good ATF guys. But within that group is a cancer of others that are Freemasons. And they're working against their own people. Don't even know it. You've got good people in these positions in the government. But they're subverted. They're corrupted. They're silenced by the Satanists in the same organizations. That's how it really works. For now. It will end. Of that, there's no question about that. But right now, Satan is prince of this world. It is supernatural. His worker bees are the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, or the foot soldiers, the Shushan boys, for a much higher level hierarchy. Then you got the Vatican, the Queen Elizabeth group, the Merovingian bloodline that is head over all of the governments in the world today, all of them. Then you got allowances, you got like President of the United States and you got President of Russia, Putin, and the Korean guy. All these are puppets. Nothing more than puppets that are scripted out to work against each other, but behind closed doors are just as friendly as you can imagine. For the public, they play out their allowed role as a president, pseudo-president, leader of the most powerful nation in the world, the biggest bunch of baloney ever was. We're a colony of England today, Canada, Israel, Australia, nothing more than colonies. That's all. That's it. You remember when Obama, my mama, Obama, bowed down to the president, or the president, the king of Saudi Arabia? That was correct. He did the right thing. You know why? He's nothing more than a president of a corporation, of which the president, I keep saying president, the king of Saudi Arabia is in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth II, Merovingian bloodline, tribe of Dan. Kings and queens reign on this earth right now. So the presidents and prime ministers and all these guys, they're allowed to be there. They're picked, handpicked. They can put them in, take them out anytime they want to. That's all they are. So when he bowed down, secretly he's given the real structure of the hierarchy. Now, Americans, because he's the president of the United States, most powerful nation in the world, blah, 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 bowed down. How dare he do that? When Bush would have to bow down in reality, and Clinton, and all the rest of them, FDR, Reagan, Nixon, all of them, they work together. They're all cousins of the Merovingian bloodline, appointed long before they're elected. And then the actual appointment is what we call an election. That's the reality of it. You never elect a president. He's always appointed, never elected. The facade is millions and millions of dollars are spent on these conventions. And gallons and gallons of gallons and gallons of gas are wasted going to the election polls. For nothing. They've never been elected. It's a facade. It's a lie. Always has been. They're appointed because they're lower level cousins, all of the presidents in our history, of the same bloodline since George Washington. Even FDR says presidents were never elected but appointed. I've given on my program last week or week before, I forgot. Anyway, testimony by Curtis, testimony that elections are swayed by a computer program. Before that, they just lie about the count. They come up with eight presidents talking on a platform, eight potential presidents. It's a lie. They start weeding them out immediately, right down to two, by one reason or another. They already know all this. And Americans are bought, paid for, fooled, one side down the other. Republican Party, Democrat Party, conservatives, liberals, at the highest level, work together in partnership behind closed doors. Now, that's how it really works. Y'all need to know that. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I'm going to talk about, and not just Pearl Harbor, but Pearl Harbor represents every single war we've ever had. Every war. No exception. The way they set up the wars that kills our young boys and girls, murders millions of civilians worldwide, are all pre-planned, with the outcome already decided. Okay, I'll say it again. Make sure you know I didn't make a mistake. Where the outcome of the war that they've planned already, the outcome is already decided before the war is ever fought. Even if you win the battles, doesn't make a lick of difference. Now that should have got your attention. And these are facts. This is not speculation. If y'all could do me a favor today, there's a website called TalkStreamLive.com. And during the course of this hour and the next hour, two times at least, if you could go to TalkStreamLive.com. Do it for me. And then look for my little picture somewhere there in that array of other pictures. And click on it. And up pops my, what they call, page, I guess. And then to the right of my little photo is like a bar, green thing going on, like a graph bar. Click that, and up pops a media player. You can listen to it there, or just click off the media player. And what that is a vote of who's listening. I don't know who you are, where you are, whatever, but it's a vote. And it moves me up in the standings. And the reason I move up in the standings with a true count of who's listening, assuming it's more than two or three, then it, when people visit TalkStream Live to find out what shock talk show to listen to, they'll go to the top 10 and start picking and choosing. Now, I don't benefit off my broadcast at all. I have no financial endeavors. I'm not running for Congress. I don't sell water filters or freeze-dried food or gold or any of that stuff. I don't do none of that. I just want to get the word out that I'm done. That's it. It's that simple. And if you want to just go back to my website, you click on the picture and it takes you back to my website. Somehow they have it figured out that way. It works. Also, let you know that we were played in one other network. He plays our shows randomly as John Kirkler. Highportradio.net. Highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he plays my broadcast of Bible studies on a random basis. And he has sponsors. And he wants to increase his output, his network. So you would live up in those three states. You'd search out his sponsors and give him a hand there. Okay. Okay, the broadcast. And we've got a lot to talk about. Lord, we thank you today for this day, Father. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you guide us today, guide us this week, in search of your truth. Father, we pray for our brethren today, our parents, our loved ones, those friends close to us. Father, for those that need healing, we pray for protection of those also, Lord, that are seeking your name and are being targeted. Father, we know there are many. And Father, we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around them and protect them from these attacks from the outside and even from families at times. Father, to use their efforts to spread the word of God in order to come in contact in divine appointments, that the Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of those around. And Father, to bring the name of Jesus Christ to the heart. Father, to give us that strength and wisdom and discernment and the courage to speak out. And protection, Father, and divine opportunities that we have to spread the true word. Father, keep us humble. That, Father, we'll live in your glory, but, Lord, that we have trust in you to give us the opportunities and the ability to do what we do for all of us. Father, we pray for the veterans that's coming back off these wars and being targeted by their own government, by the technology, psychotropic drugs. We pray for protection of children this month. Lord, we know the days of sacrifice are coming soon. And we pray for the protection of those children, especially now in this holiday period. That, Lord, we know there's those out there to kidnap and take these children. Father, we call upon you to provide protection. We know in your infinite wisdom and your infinity that, Lord, you know all that's going on. We pray for that protection, Lord. Father, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before the cross. And Father, to give us that forgiveness, that Lord, that we can receive the powers of the Holy Spirit to spread the word and spread the truth and guide others to your name. And Father, to expose those in these churches that are not preaching the truth and expose those false Bibles that's not the King James. Father, we need an awakening in this world. And soon we see the end of the times coming. We need more watchmen. We need those angels from heaven to come down and protect us with your protection and guide us in the right path. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I'm a former U.S. Marine. I joined the Marine Corps to fight. That's the only reason I ever joined. God put me between the wars, 75 and 87. I sought after other wars after I got out by contracting. I didn't want to stop fighting. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to fight, kill, get involved, whatever, even after the Marine Corps. I was born again, but I'd fallen away. A different mindset. It wasn't the same as it was even before that, but I still had some of it in me. So what I've been learning now since, I guess, the past 7 or 8 years, has been, for me, astounding. The way I lived and what I found out of how the wars are actually orchestrated. So when I tell the truth about this, it goes against my trained grain, but I have to do it. Somebody's got to speak the truth, and I can do it. Because my allegiance is one. That's to Jesus Christ. I have no other allegiance. That's it. And I'm proud to say it. My allegiance is to Jesus and Jesus alone. I know the only true book, the only true word is King James Bible. And that's with evidence. I've searched it out. Do your own search. Don't believe me. I don't want you to. But I will tell you, if there was any way possible that I could say the Geneva Bible and King James Bible were the same, I sure would do it. Or any other Bible that was the same, I sure would do it. I know for a fact, with evidence, no agenda, belonging to no group whatsoever, that there's no doubt, hands down, the King James Bible, the only true word of God on the face of the planet. Literally. People can deny it, twist the scriptures all they want. When you take an iron and then wrinkle them, it always comes out. It's the only one that's a true word. And the reason people try to twist the words is because it convicts the soul of the sin that they like. It's that simple. To live it, not that simple. And I sure vouch for that. But family, what's going on today from Ferguson, Brown, choking, shooting this kid and that kid, I don't doubt it happened. Because you've got cops, literally, Freemasons, trained. You have cops also that are former felons, and their records are hidden. And they're allowed to work in the precincts. Uh-huh. Yeah, they are. Throughout the United States. And they're identifying their fellow cops are the ones they're going to take out when we go to the North American Union and the One World Order. They will disarm the good cops. It will happen. And the felons that are in the prisons, when their prisons are opened, and they will be when this time comes, all prisons will be closed. And the felons will be released. And the ones that do not swear an order, swear an allegiance to Lucifer, literally. Those that do not swear allegiance to Lucifer, literally, will be executed. As will the cops be executed. Because cops and those that are coming out of the prisons are free thinkers. They take initiative. On the right side of the law, the wrong side, doesn't matter. They're people that think freely. They're not in the matrix. They can't have them running around. They will not allow it. And the same thing for Freemasons throughout the nation. And the world, actually. They will not have any more secret societies. They won't need them. Right now they have secret societies. Because they use them. They give them rewards, little trinkets, doodads, and aprons, and knowledge that is like a, little rewards for learning and growing and degrees. You're now a Master Mason. You're whatever. And the fourth degree is called something else. Fifth degree is something else. I know we told you this in the fourth degree, third degree. But here's what it really means. Because you're a tenth degree, you're higher than they are. We trust you more, so we're going to give you more secrets. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, we are. But they use them for their benefit to overpower other people, find out information about other people. Some cases to kill other people. Masons don't know this. I know in 1972, 73, this assassination unit that was going to kill Spiro Agnew in Republican convention in San Diego, 1972, September. So Nixon would be able to declare martial law. A unit from the LAPD, one of the super secret domestic intelligence units. I got documentation on that and testimony. Louis Tackwood, Glasshouse tapes. He was a member of it, went public. Oh, yeah. You see, that's reality. So, the point is, choking someone out, I don't doubt it. And doing these despondent things, like, shooting a kid with a, he thought it was a pill container. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. But I don't doubt that he did. Or whether it did or whether it didn't, and whether it's made up and put on the news, doesn't matter. It fills the same agenda throughout the nation. The article's printed. Everybody sees it. KKK sends it. Black Panther sees it. They use that to incite their people. And that's what it's used for. That's the reality. Now, whether it happened or not, it's 50-50. Trayvon Martin. A sacrifice because his father was a Freemason. Those in the occult, Freemasonry, in Hollywood, other places where they are in the occult, in witchcraft, all that, same thing. They must give up a family member or someone they care about to move up in a higher level of position. That's where a lot of your, when you hear about women that's got three or four, several, this past couple months, had some dead babies in their carport, for goodness sakes. Family, the story behind all that is that in witchcraft, to kill your own, get you closer to a goddess level. Everything going on today is satanic. All the way up to your Congress, your military leaders, the Council of Foreign Relations, Queen Elizabeth II. Absolutely true. That's all they are. Leaked up to satanic slavery of their own right. What's called the hierarchy. This is the biggest picture. They prance around like kings and queens and presidents and all this, but they're really nothing more than slaves. Human hybrid slaves of a hierarchy. And I'm not going to that David Icke, he's another New Ager, like his handler, Jordan Maxwell. They're New Agers, and he comes up with this reptilian garbage. This is their effort, for example, to take the truth and make it some ridiculous wild story and lecture about it to downplay it in the eyes of the public. So when you hear all about this, well, the king and queen, the Queen of England, of Queen Elizabeth is a reptilian, and she's blah, blah, blah. The average Joe public is going to, this guy's crazy. That's what they want. That's what he's for. He's no Christian by no stretch of anybody's imagination, like Jimmy Carter's not. They're all Luciferians. They're all Luciferians. Every one of them. Buchanan, Billy Bob Clinton, Bush, Obama, FDR, family, I keep going. I'm not giving you references right now. I don't have the time. A lot of it you can find yourself. I'm telling you the truth. Satan is prince of this world. But he's not king. And he's already lost on a cross of Calvary. He's a done deal. But in the meantime, we're waiting on the judgment of God to come. And when it does, there's no stopping it. Once it begins, it's no longer intercessory. It is then judgment. At that point on, there's no turning back. If you were to die tomorrow, God forbid, but if you were to die tomorrow, your judgment has begun. If you're born again, you're going to heaven, your soul and your spirit. If you're not, your soul and spirit will go to torment in hell. I don't mince words. This is the reality of this world. It's based on the supernatural. Everything else we have here on this earth is physical. It's played out. And we're between two giants, of which one is already defeated. God is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Because he's sinless. And that's what we pray to. Now, before I get started, which I already did, come back to earth here, I had to be said. I do sometimes go down rabbit trails, I'm sorry. But sometimes I do. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 32 to Hebrews 12 to verse 4. Hebrews 12, verse 3. And I'm now heading toward Pearl Harbor and all the false flags in our history. I'm now on the way. Hebrews 12, 3. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, it's this contradiction thing going on that keeps us all busy, tied up and confused. In that scripture, Hebrews 12:3, the picture is changed from a race to a fight against sin. And our undoubted captain is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, no one ever endured hostility from sinners as he did. So whenever we have a tendency to grow weary and discouraged, we got to think of what he went through. Because our trials are trifling by comparison. And we're engaged in a ceaseless striving against this sin. Yet we've not resisted to the point of bloodshed. But in these wars, it is. It goes out into bloodshed. You know, there's a white wall in the Veterans Memorial Museum in Branson, Missouri. It bears the name of 406,000 U.S. soldiers who died in World War II. That's massive. That's massive. A sacrifice remembered. Each name points beyond itself to the larger cause for which they died. They died defending freedom. They died defending their country in their minds. It's all real. Their death was real. And everything resulted from that death is real. The enemy was real. They're shooting real bullets at each other. Not to trivialize it, but grandfathers, great-grandfathers. And the same thing for the Germans and Japanese and Italians. They didn't know what I'm going to talk about today either. None of them knew. But they were hating each other. Didn't even know why, really. So the part of the battlefield was protecting yourself and coming back home. You're going over there because you're taught to go over there. You had a family structure. You had principles, 1930s, 40s, 50s. Sovereignty, family values, nuclear family. Family, all that was set up in itself to promote these wars. Because it was taken down beginning in 1945. To take down the family, you destroy the country. Family, I've got the objectives for this. You understand this? Don't tell me it's speculation. I have the plan. How they did it. Or doing it, excuse me. So these are real wars. They were set up. The enemies are constructed and fabricated and manufactured on both sides. You know, nearly every nation has monuments to its fallen soldiers. And there's a day to remember those who died fighting for their country. They just didn't know the enemy was manufactured by the elite on both sides, working against their own citizens. Adolf Hitler, Queen Elizabeth II, Churchill, Stalin, are all second cousins. Are all second cousins. Prince Philip II, second cousin. Married his second cousin. Is that sick or what? Elizabeth II, married her second cousin, Prince Philip. They're all second cousins. Now that's some sick garbage. But they're Luciferians. They got to keep a certain bloodline from never marrying outside that family. Whether or not we agree with the ideas, we do well to ponder the courage and sacrifice of those soldiers fight for a cause they didn't know the source of. When you go to Hebrews 11, it talks about a number of heroes who died and died courageously by faith. By faith. So when you get to the end of the chapter, this list in Hebrews changes from the names of individuals or groups, or two groups of believers, and the experiences range from miraculous deliverance to torture and death. Because they refused to compromise their faith in God. It's what happened to Colosseums. The true faith of those Christians being sacrificed in the Colosseums by lions and crucifix and so forth, gladiators, worked opposite from what they thought. They thought it would discourage Christians. I didn't say Christianity didn't exist then, till later Constantine. But it worked opposite. People in the stands were converting because they had saw the faith of those being killed in horrific, horrible ways was always faithful. So people in the stands started changing. We want some of that. Who's this? Their God. We want to know their God. Uh-oh. Not supposed to work that way. But it did. That's why Satan brought in Constantine. 313 A.D. Bridge of something or other. He defeated Maxentius. Took over Rome. 313 A.D. 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, and the beginning, the origin of this religion called, Christianity, which began corrupted at the very same time to hide the truth about Jesus, but a lukewarm way. So he pulled in the Christians to gather them together to now corrupt their belief. That's where Christianity came from. Being a Christian is not the same as Christianity. That's why Christianity has 37,000 different sects to corrupt those who believe in God and Jesus back in those days. So if we can't beat them, let's join them and corrupt them. That's why the Bible, you see how it worked? That's exactly, case in point, they couldn't bring in the Muslims. They couldn't bring in the Arabs to Roman Catholicism. So in the 6th century, about 300 years later, the Vatican created the religion of Islam using Arab church fathers. And they trained Muhammad the prophet. You can't beat him, join him. That's exactly how it worked. It's been working like that ever since. So individually and collectively, they remind us that the spiritual battle is not over. These deaths on the battlefield. One paraphrase of Hebrews 12:1 says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means that we better get with it. Well, the actual scripture says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That's very important. To bear in mind that Hebrews was written to people who were being persecuted, because they'd forsaken Judaism for Christ. They were facing bitter opposition. They shouldn't think, that their sufferings were unique, because many of the witnesses described in chapter 11 suffered severely as a result of their loyalty to the Lord and not to the religions. Yet they endured. So can saints in heaven see our lives on earth or know what's being transpiring? Only thing we can know for sure is that they know is when a sinner is saved. So the Christian life, not Christianity, but the Christian life is a race that requires discipline and endurance. You got to stop ourselves of everything that would impede us. Weights are things that may be harmless in themselves, but can hinder progress. Material possessions, family ties, love of comfort, lack of mobility, all this sort of thing. In the Olympic races, there's no rule against carrying a supply of food and beverage. But the runner would never win a race that way. He's got to lay aside, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, we have to lay aside. So, as we recall every sacrifice made on our behalf by these veterans that died in these wars, every example of spiritual courage, which was real for them then, at that moment in time, let's determine to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what, and to join the parade of faithful veterans of the faith. Hess said, I quote, "As we remember those who've gone before and think about the sacrifice they made, we cannot help but think about our Lord, who gave his life, our ransom fully paid." They did fight for our freedom, whether it's made up or manufactured or what. Because there were six phases of World War II that a lot of y'all don't know about. And the sixth phase of World War II, well, we got to phase three. I'm sorry, four. Phase six was the Japanese invading Pearl Harbor, decimating it, totally controlling it as a base in preparation for a total invasion of the beaches of California, while simultaneously Adolf Hitler in phase five was to take, with help from Churchill, was to take Britain and France, completely occupy it, position in Spain, and launch into the eastern coast of Nova Scotia, or there on in near Canada, sweep into the mid part of Ontario, and go south around Minnesota, Wisconsin, and divide the United States in half with Nazi forces. FDR was already have declared martial law and dictatorship, which would have facilitated this total invasion of our country in 1943. Yes, they fought for our freedom, but they didn't know the treachery of the Luciferians that was not only in our own government and military, and I have evidence of that. And now that I've said that, I must read the evidence to show you that this is true. Because in March the 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, that's 2 years before Pearl Harbor, and 6 years after a planned military coup of the U.S. government was to take place in 1934. And that was where General Butler of the Marine Corps blew the whistle about this military takeover when he wasn't supposed to. He was a patriot. He's a Marine Corps general, a real one, not the fakes they got today. Not the fakes they got today in the Pentagon and the Joint Chief of Staff. He wasn't a Rhodes Scholar. He wasn't a Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, turncoat, Luciferian. He's a true American hero. Not the cowards they have today. Butler turned it in to Congress. Dirks D. McCormick Commission investigated, confirmed military takeover of the government was thwarted. So March the 4th, 1939, it was planned, and General FDR, who knew about it, now Butler didn't know that FDR knew about it, because they want to catch Butler. If Butler had really used the World War I veterans, who were highly ticked off because they weren't getting their bonuses, which was planned that way, they're unhappy about the government, which is planned that way, and rightfully so, And then they burned out the veterans, MacArthur, Patton, Black Jack Pershing, Eisenhower, who's aide to Pershing, MacArthur, were ordered by Hoover to rout out the veterans that were camped around D.C., called a bonus army. That was all but design, designed to tick them off, not give them the bonuses, to tick them off. So why? So they'd be more eager to work with Butler, whom they trusted, form a revolt, which was planned already, of a half a million World War I veterans, take over the functions of government, and use a buffer or a club at least to get the government to do what they want them to do, to help the veterans. See that cause they're going to use? Well, FDR knew about it, and he was going to actually find General Butler in the act of doing it and declare martial law and him a traitor. That would give FDR justification for martial law. Now, here's the evidence. A quote behind closed doors. In front of three congressional committees as witnesses. You'll find it in Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1955. And this quote was given to William G. Carr by a witness to this quote by the name of Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, Senator Lundeen, who about 1950 time frame gave this quote from his diary to William G. Carr. You'll find it on my website. In my milestones, I've got there on watchforjesus.com. I got a chronology document there. Look up March 4th, 1939. So to prove my point, here is exactly what FDR said behind closed doors. Listen to these words very carefully of what our president said to three congressional committees, never to be revealed to the public. It wasn't until 1950s. Quote, FDR, the real FDR, and representative of all the other presidents in our history, of the same attitude. Here's what he said to three congressional committees and their plans. In March of 1939, 2 years before Pearl Harbor. Quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, that's the Illuminati, that's the hierarchy. I am putting my people ahead of all instruments, instruments of the American people. Oh, yeah. Quote, I have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people, as far as a democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. I am going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. Did you get that? In the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My new deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me that I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. He planned dictatorship. He planned martial law. They planned on infesting America with all the aliens, outsiders, as possible. That was to reduce sovereignty. He knew there was going to be a lot of death in America then. This was to facilitate the invasion by his cousin, Hitler. From the east. And bloodline family to the midst of it. Admiral Yamamoto in the West to meet in the middle of the United States. Already a dictatorship would have been around using the military. Are they stupid or what? Anyway, using the military to force a dictatorship under the guise of we have traitors in our midst. Does that sound familiar? God is in control. It never happened. Adolf Hitler got a little bit of hero worship. Admiral Yamamoto cut off the third attack on Pearl Harbor. Mussolini went haywire. Stalin went haywire. It fell apart. Never completed it. Now that's a history that ought to got your attention. You see, that's what really was going to happen. And I guarantee you won't find that in history books. Now, what I've just told you is accumulated from a lot of historical documentation, evidence. Now, I've summarized it past hour, leading up to what I'm going to talk about now about Pearl Harbor, how they're going to pull this together. Pearl Harbor was the beginning of it. Churchill and Hitler were working together. It's even more believable when you understand that Operation Paperclip, after 1945, brought over 10,000 Nazis to America. Social engineers, rocket scientists, chemists, brainwashing experts or whatever. They formed the UN. They formed the CIA. They formed our rocket program, Von Braun family. Evidence is clear. Evidence in it don't just stop there. Oh, heck no. FDR. A day that will live in infamy. Unprovoked attack. What a liar, man. What a liar these people are. Luciferians. One of the most evil men in the world. Hitler, FDR was. Along with the others. Nixon, Reagan, all the rest of them. They're all the same. You see? Same goes for Europe, too. Not just America. It's Europe. Russia. China. A whole darn lot of them. Satan is prince of this world. He's not king. That's one thing you got to remember. Did you know that almost 100 years to that day, give or take 100 years, did you know a bloodline cousin of FDR named Clinton Roosevelt in 1841, a century before, he published in America, 1841, The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. I say again, The Science of Government Founded on Natural Laws. And what it is was nothing more than a plagiarized version of the teachings of Professor Adam Weishaupt from Frankfurt University. That's a world revolutionary plan we're living today. He's a renegade Jesuit priest. Jew or not, the priority is he's a Jesuit. That's what counted. He set up the world revolutionary movement. It's a conspiracy of Satan that I'm talking about. Well, Clinton Roosevelt, cousin to FDR, ancestral cousin, just plagiarized that document from Adam Weishaupt, passed it on to Karl Marx, who plagiarized it and became the Communist Manifesto, which we're living in today. And so the fact that FDR, his New Deal, NRA, other political policies, economic devices, Pearl Harbor, all this stuff, fit perfectly in the long-range plans of the Illuminati and proved the continuity of the conspiracy from 1841 to 1945. Remember that word, that date, 1945. Very, very important. Because that date began the the takedown of America, destruction of the family. This is really what's going on today. Now, let's talk about Pearl Harbor and how they done this. I laid the groundwork now for the past hour. That was my plan. Now, some of my regular listeners, you're going to hear some of the same stuff, but not necessarily all of it. And so I kind of put it in a different perspective today, the more distinct perspective. Here's what happened. Here's how they create wars for money and power. It leads us up through to World War II, which is what my focus is going to be on. But I'm going to do it before that to show you how they led up to it. Because World War II is nothing more than a continuation of World War I. That's all it is. The Hudson Institute and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, they both published reports stating that war is the only means found thus far to control and alter the lives of large groups of people. So globally connected politicians and bankers love the wars for two several purposes. Now, the globally connected politicians and bankers are errand boys for the Illuminati. That's all they are. Cannon fodder. Plausible deniability. That's all they are. So when you get these talkers out there on the radio and news and say the bankers are going to take down the bankers, we're going to arrest the bankers and bankers, bankers. It's like the Nuremberg trials. It's ridiculous. Copy is nothing. A banker is a dime a dozen. A president is a dime a dozen. As I've already told you. You see? Now, I'm hesitating is I'm trying to simplify this so I can explain it. Because it's complicated. I'm going to try to simplify it the best I can. Here is where it started. And all this led up to Pearl Harbor as a false flag. You're going to be a little surprised here. Some of you not, some of you will. Albert Pike, 1871, his plan, 1871, for three world wars. I didn't make a mistake. In 1871, Albert Pike, Freemason, Luciferian, could speak 16 languages, possessed an avatar, what else I want to call it. He envisioned three world wars to be followed by unparalleled economic disaster. And Pike's plans have come to fruition and on target. Rothschilds, Rockefellers, well, primarily Rothschilds. Rockefellers came later. Rothschilds are behind most of this. But they're led by the Italian Illuminati, the Vatican, who's controlled by the Italian Illuminati, a 13 family group that you don't know about. John Coleman talks about this in his lectures, the real Illuminati. Albert Pike wrote a letter to Manzini, dated August the 15th, 1871, and Manzini, Italian, Illuminati, was a middle guy between Adam Weishaupt and Albert Pike to continue the plan from 1776 to 1841, 1841 to 1945. You got that? This has got everything to do with Pearl Harbor. But you never heard this before. The connection. Albert Pike, August 15th, 1871, as he had planned, and I will tell you, through supernatural means, no human being could come up with this plan himself, and all everything come together. He wrote in this letter, I quote, "The First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the Tsar in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism." Remember, this is 1871. "The divergence ceased by the agent tour agents of the Illuminati between British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments in order to weaken the religions." Now go back to 1841 and 1848. Clinton Roosevelt, Karl Marx, Communist Manifesto. If you're going to have a war, you have a thesis, an antithesis, which was Karl Ritter. He was tasked with writing the fascist program. It was directly supposed to go against communism when put into practice. You understand how well this is put together? Karl Ritter died. Frank Nietzsche, Nietzscheism, took over. Frank Nietzsche completed the writing. And out of that evolved fascism and Nazism. In 1840s, 1850s. So by 1871, the ideologies are already produced, ready to put into place. Identifying the Jews as a problem began in 1885. Family, it's all laid out. Unbelievable. 1871. And he also says, the Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between fascist and political Zionists. Zionism was created by the Vatican in 1897. Right on time. Seeking of the Maine was a false flag confirmed to justify United States building a standing army. Getting ready to go. See, that's been played out all along. That's why the Rothschilds funded Japan and Russia as they fought each other. Rothschild supported both sides in 1904, leading up to World War I. Okay, continuing. This war, talking about World War II, must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that the political Zionism be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine. During the Second World War, international communism must become strong enough in order to balance Christendom, which would then be restrained and held in check until the time when we would need it for the final social cataclysm. So World War II was all about Israel, which is today a colony of England, a colony of the Illuminati. There's your so-called Israel. Hexagram is a witchcraft sign. Our pentagram on the flag, stars and stripes, is a pentagram of witchcraft. Every country, Arab, English, Russian, all of them have occult symbols on their flags. Every one of them. Because they're all subject to Satan. Every single country. Every single royal family. All of them. Ginsburg from Russia, for example. Now, we're talking up to 1945. There you go. Now, after 1945, they knew that there'd have to be Third World War to finish it. But they could not predict when it would be. Here is the plan of Albert Pike for the real World War III, which, by the way, family, would be the second seal. Quote the letter, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agitator of the Illuminati between political Zionists, and the leaders of the Islamic world. This war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations was more divided on this issue. Will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economic exhaustion. Then we shall unleash the nihilists, that's the assassins and murderers, and the atheists, and we shall provide a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an idea, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out to public view. And this manifestation will result from a general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Unquote. That means you atheists out there, you don't believe in Lucifer, do you? No. You don't believe in Satan either, do you? No. Well, you'll either give allegiance to Lucifer and take the mark of the beast, or they're going to kill you. It's real simple. It will happen. Family, the Bible confirms this actual thing because the Bible tells us about it. It's called the second seal, the red horse of war, the third seal, the black horse, famine worldwide, even in America. The pale horse, disease, pandemics. And the fifth horse, those Christians that believe in Jesus, professing their faith, to be beheaded. It's coming. In God's timing, not ours. And then the sixth seal will be the preparation of the one blood moon, the one moon to go dark and turn red with blood, and the sun to be covered by cloth, sackcloth, and a great earthquake. Bring on the seventh seal, which in the seventh seal starts the first trumpet, and the horn will blow. And that's all God, man. That's all God's judgment. Saved up all this time. This is all coming together. I've given you what Satan has produced, how he's doing it exactly, and how God's going to answer him is what they don't know. Now I'm going to throw something else at you. The so-called Star Wars with Reagan, HAARP, all this, they know the one called God is going to bring judgment. They know the Bible better than you. They know it's real. Now, when you think God's going to bring judgment, what is the first thing you think of? What is his weapons? His weapons is the weather, meteors, universal forces. So why don't we just produce technology that also control those forces? That's where HARP comes in. Space travel. Earthquakes that's produced by HARP. You got to be kidding me. Now, who's stupid? They actually think they're going to go take on God, his own game. This is the biggest picture I can paint of all. That's the biggest thing going on right now today. What's that got to do with Pearl Harbor? Okay. So now you know the reason for World War II. Now let's talk about how they do it. Exactly. So now back to what I was talking about. Setting up wars does one other thing. When you have war, you have killing, of course, rape, murder, killing, death, destruction. When you have dead people in the millions, it produces a lot of force energy, life force energy released from the dead bodies. The souls and those that don't go to heaven are collected. They have a force energy. I don't know how it works exactly, but the fallen angels absorb this energy to be able to manifest themselves physically. It's witchcraft. Some of y'all may not be able to handle that, but that's what happens. And by that destruction, emotion, hate, death, it works in quantum physics. It works in biology, chemistry, for the fallen angels to manifest in the tree of life. The same thing for abortions. I mean, this is quantum physics. Okay, here we go. Now, in these wars, it brings more people. That's who pay taxes. I'm going to really downscale here now. All right. Down to exactly how they set these wars up. Now you know the big picture. Now I'm going to show you the small picture, how they do it. You see, the U.S. War Powers Act of March 1933, is a perfect example of freedom-destroying emergency legislation. They had the War Powers Act set up about the same time they're going to do the military takeover using Butler, who outsmarted them. Under the control enables them to pass restrictive legislation, stealing freedom bit by bit from the people. They're trying to do that today. Rick Joyner, talking about a military takeover of the U.S. government. The only solution is a military takeover. That's what he said is the national TV news. Can you believe that? And been not put in jail either. How about that? How does that work? Well, he's a nice of Malta, and that's how it works. They're protected, because this is a conspiracy, by the way. I find this amazing stuff. I really do. It's incredible, actually. All this that they're doing, all the death they've caused, will get them nowhere. It's impossible for them to win. You know, the lecturer of the World Revolutionary Movement explained, nowadays, if any states raise a protest against us, the Satanists and Luciferians who direct the World Revolutionary Movement at the top is only pro forma at our discretion and our direction because they control the policies of all governments. From behind the scenes. There's also a statement made which refers to the management of the lesser brethren. This statement indicates the director's Luciferian conspiracy intended to use the Lord degree Freemasons as they use lesser Jewish brethren to serve their own secret plans and sacrifice as many as necessary to serve their own devilish purposes. Chapter 11 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion says, and I quote, "We shall keep promising to give back to the people all the liberties we've taken away as soon as we've quelled the enemies of peace and tamed all parties. It's not worthwhile to say anything about how long a time they will be kept waiting for the return of their liberties. Unquote. Now that's how it really works. That's how it really goes through. And the Freemasons don't understand this, that they're a party to their own destruction. Quote, for what purpose have we invented this whole policy and insinuated it into the minds of the goys, that's the goyim, that's us, without giving them any chance to examine its underlying meaning? For what indeed, if not in order to obtain a roundabout way that what is for our scattered tribe unattainable for the direct road, scattered tribe is Illuminati. It is this which we have served the basis for organization of secret masonry, which is not known to, and aims which not even so much as suspected by, these goy cattle, that's us, attracted by us into the show army of Masonic lodges in order to throw dust in the eyes of their fellows. They lie to their own people. William G. Carr said, and I quote, the above reads as if Jews were directing the conspiracy, but we must remember we are dealing with the high priest of the synagogue of Satan, the masters of deceit, whom Christ told us are them who say they're Jews but are not Jews, those who serve Satanism all over the world seeking the ruin of souls are just so much the scattered tribe as are the Hebrews Jews. Scattered. Now, let's funnel it down even further. I'm giving you all the full blast today. War Powers Act, set up March 1933, right in time for a military takeover, which didn't happen. Right before the war, Pearl Harbor, a few years later, which was planned in 1920 by FDR, Churchill, and the Japanese elite. In 1920s it was planned, using Ensign Yamamoto in Harvard. Go between. For the bankers, these wars lead to huge profits because after World War I, Germany paid large sums to the globalists in war reparations. These destroyed the economy, created the hyperinflation responsible for Hitler's rise to power in World War II, and they blamed the Jews for it. That's how it galvanized the German people. And what a liar. And I'm not Jew. I'm Scotch-Irish. A little bit of Cherokee. So don't be saying I'm a Jew. I ain't no Jew. I'm going to get along with that. Jew, know what I mean? Now, to continually reap the huge profits that these Illuminati are going to take, the globalists would do whatever is necessary to foster war and rebellion and to sow discord among the people. They think nothing of wasting lives of the brave men and women in the military for their own selfish gain. They always have. And we have never been none the wiser. And neither has the enemy. They don't know this, what we're talking about. American money financed our enemies, killed our own sailors and soldiers. It's always been that way. Led by the Vatican and the Illuminati in Europe. Since the 1700s. Now, you want to read War is a Racket by General Butler. Write that down. He tells you right there. John Robeson, 1798, talks about the proofs of conspiracy. Major General Smedley D. Butler, retired, wrote War is a Racket. He didn't know the whole story. But he knew enough. War is a Racket. Read that. Now, Norman Dodd was a former U.S. congressman. He confirmed that war was the most effective means for controlling people. He was also asked, by the way, to speak in 1963 at the Iron Mountain Commission. 15 high-level engineers, social engineers. Took a study from Harvard, was already pre-planned, and they fully developed it, called the Iron Mountain Report, 1963. Never to be revealed to the public, but it was anyway, under LBJ. And the report was how to control people in the time of peace. War was the best way to control people. When you don't have war, how are we going to control them? And that's what the Iron Mountain Report talks about. Now, Norman Dodd was in this committee, Iron Mountain Committee, was asked to go study the report of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace that was held in 1909. So he was 1963. He was allowed to view the records of the Carnegie Endowment for Peace study in 1909 on how to control people that determined that war is the best way. So he studied the minutes of the meeting. Quote, the trustees of the foundation brought up a single question. If it is desirable to alter the life of an entire people, is there any means more efficient than war? Now they discussed the question for a year and came up with an answer. There are no known means more efficient than war, assuming the objective is altering the life of an entire people. That leads them to a question. How do we involve the United States in a war? This was in 1909. How about that? Report from Iron Mountain. Dell Publishing, 1967. So then they had a planned entry into World War I. 1910 was Jekyll Island to get the financial controls. 1913 was a Federal Reserve Act right under our noses in Christmas of 1913. Woodrow the Dupe Wilson. So they had a planned entry to World War I. You know, it's absolutely outrageous, egregious, that the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace should be designed to involve the United States into a war by design. And it's clear that there's a hidden agenda motivated not by peace, but then by financial gain, and fulfill exactly the plans of Albert Pike in 1871. Charles Callan Tetzel quoted William Jennings Bryan. I quote, as Secretary Bryan had anticipated, the large banking interests were deeply interested in this world war, and we World War I, because of wide opportunities for large profits. So that was the carrot. Profits were the carrot. Franklin Roosevelt, then Assistant Secretary of the Navy, was upset over America's slowness to enter World War I. See, he had been in constant conflict with his chief, Secretary of the Navy, Joseph Daniels. And historian Joseph Flesch says, I quote, Secretary of the Navy, Joseph Daniels, resisted every move that might carry the United States into the war. He opposed the arming of merchant ships, intentionally provoking the German army into believing that the ship was a ship of war. See, Roosevelt favored both. When a filibuster prevented congressional authorization of the arming of the merchantmen, Roosevelt was impatient with Wilson for immediately using his executive power to arm the ships. Democrat Roosevelt dined at the Metropolitan Club with a group of Republican war hawks. The primary topic of discussion was, according to Roosevelt's diary, quote, how to make administration steer a clear course to uphold rights, unquote. Historian Lash says, I quote, this was a euphemism for an aggressive policy on the high seas that would result in incidences and involve the United States in a war, unquote. So Woodrow Wilson, controlled by Mandel House, wasn't such a bad guy. Mandel House was total evil, incarnated. But Woodrow Wilson was kind of dupey. He was a bloodline to FDR. But he still had his second thoughts about starting a war. Not like FDR. FDR was just gung-ho. Evil, just like Reagan and Nixon and all the rest of them. Clinton and Bush, Obama, LBJ. They were darn one of them. Now, they already determined at this point that the U.S. would be brought into a war by an incident, a false flag on the sea. So, they began work on a plan to do just that. Colin Simpson said, and I quote, Cunard Shipping Lines, owner of the Lusitania, turned the ship over to the British Lord, First Lord of Admiralty, Winston C. Churchill. Oh, by the way, Churchill was a Knights of Malta murderer. Winston Churchill was a Knights of Malta. Continuing quote, the ship was sent to New York City, where it was loaded with 6 million rounds of ammunition, bought and paid for by J.P. Morgan and company. Before it set sail for England, the German government warned Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan and President Woodrow Wilson that it would be sunk, innocent passengers killed. Wilson and Bryan did nothing. As the ship entered the English Channel on May the 7th, 1915, Churchill ordered the single British escort ship to abandon the Lusitania. Now a set and duck, it was sunk by 3 German U-boats, and 1,201 lives, innocent, were lost. One well-known author of a book on Lusitania called it, quote, the foulest act of willful murder ever committed on the seas, unquote. Colin Simpson. Now, is foul, is murderous, evil, but it accomplished the purpose. So we're now in a war, World War I, and to remind you why, Ferdinand Lundberg said, I quote, World War I provided unparalleled opportunity for the richest families to grab exorbitant profits at the expense of the public. Without exception, they made the most of the opportunity. The rich families, to be sure, wanted the war to be won, but they took care that the victory was expensive to the common taxpayers, unquote. Ferdinand Lundberg. But we know that this plan goes back to Albert Pike, who planned it in 1871 in conceptual terms. And I'm telling you how they did it in detail. You know that one of the families who reaped exorbitant profits were the Rockefellers. They were very eager for the United States to enter the World War I. They made far more than $200 million from that conflict over the dead soldiers of our country. And can you imagine the citizens, the public, that died also because of these Illuminati members? Not just Rockefellers, but all of them. The fortunes made from World War I were basically not enough to calm them down, but we know that World War II is coming. It's been planned in 1871. All this other is like carrot for the Illuminati, lower level ones. There's a much bigger picture here. World War I also was to take out the Romanov family, replace it. Wall Street funded the Bolsheviks. The Tsar of Russia torpedoed a plan by the Rothschilds in 1860s, the Congress of Vienna. He torpedoed the plans. He helped Lincoln thwart control by the Illuminati when the Tsar of Russia sent ships to America, San Francisco, Savannah, and New York Harbor. That really ticked off the Rothschilds, 1860s, 1870s. They swore a blood vengeance on the Tsar of Russia. That's why they got Japan industrialized, killed off the samurai warrior, got rid of their feudal system, brought industrialization to Japan, set them up as a war country, sharpened their teeth on China, and then two Rothschild families funded one, Japan, the other funded Russia in 1904 war. They pulled the money from the Russians to make sure they lost. In comes Trotsky, Wilson. You see how it worked? This is all pre-planned, family. All pre-planned by the Illuminati, Freemasons, the Jesuits. Family, these are the killers. These are the murderers of our young boys and girls in all of our history. Lincoln confirms the Jesuits were responsible for the Civil War. What about states' rights and slavery and all that? That was the carrot. So the fortunes made from World War I were not enough. So from the point of view of mediocre historical research, everybody thinks it's because of financial gain, but it's not. That's the carrot. So then comes planned entry in World War II. And then we know by the end of World War I, which was the war to end all wars, Bismarck, yeah, another Satan's plan, a world government, the League of Nations. See, every generation has its own Antichrist ready to go. But God's in control. Every one of them. So, now you know 1939, I read you that quote. How it all fits together like a piece of puzzle. Did you know that the major source of Hitler's financial power came from a chemical cartel unit, group called IG Farben? IG Farben had a little known source of its enormous power. And like the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street funded IG Farben, chemical cartel. You see, historian Anthony Sutton said, without the capital supplied by Wall Street, there would have been no IG Farben in the first place, and almost certainly no Adolf Hitler and World War II. Unquote. You know, it's obvious that unpatriotic capitalists, a schemed and orchestrated world events to suit their own purposes. But it goes back to 1871. It goes back to 1776, Adam Weishaupt. You know, it's not overstated to say that they purposely started war as financial gain, but that was the carrot. It's a much bigger picture. Now, in December the 9th, 1950, there's an article came out in Chicago Tribune that talks about World War II. And it goes like this. The members of the council, foreign relations, are persons of much more than average influence in their community. They've used this prestige, that their wealth, their social position, and their education has given them to lead their country toward bankruptcy and military debacle. They should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war. That's World War II. Of course, our article goes on to talk about Korean War as the second war they also caused, CFR. But I just want to talk about World War II with evidence. Even though Hitler was marauding Europe at that time, you know Hitler, right? Second cousin to Queen Elizabeth, Stalin, Churchill, all second cousins, and cousins to FDR at this point. They're all family bloodline family. They're evil. Look it up on your own. The United States has not been threatened in this time. Thus, they have no reason to enter the war, really. The people of the United States did not want war. FDR lied and said, I'll never send you young boys over there. He had fireside chats just to dupe people off. So much so that President Roosevelt made the following statement during his campaign of 1940. Remember 1940, 1 year after the 1939 speech? You know that quote from Chicago Tribune, December the 9th? I've been reminded that that was exactly today, 64 years ago. Imagine that. During his campaign of President Roosevelt, 1940, he said, and I quote, I have said this before. I shall say it again and again and again. Your boys are not going to be sent to any foreign wars, unquote. That liar. He's a Freemason, too. There's just one problem with that quote. 7 years earlier, in 1933, FDR said just the opposite in the second cabinet meeting. And I gave you all the quote in 1939, what he said there, too. He was not interested in staying out of the war, but rather wanted to devise a way for America to get into another war. Cabinet member James Farley said, and I quote, Mr. Farley wrote that the second cabinet meeting of 1933, beginning his quote, the new president again turned to the possibility of war with Japan in 1933. And General Hugh Johnson, he knew this to be true as well. Quote, I know of no well-informed Washington observer who isn't convinced that if Mr. Roosevelt is elected in 1940, he would drag us into a war at the first opportunity, and that if none presents itself, he will make one, unquote. So, y'all, Roosevelt discussed the only real way to commit America to war was by forcing Japan to attack us. So the Tripartite Treaty of September 28th, 1940, and that was between Germany, Italy, and Japan, required that if any one of them was attacked, they would all declare war against the Allied nations involved. So Roosevelt had what he needed. Is all set up. He would get America in the war by causing Japan to attack the United States. Now, if he did that, that would allow Roosevelt to keep his campaign pledge of not willingly sending Americans to war. So the only question remained was how to get Japan to attack us. Secretary of War Henry Stimson said, and I quote, and so we faced a delicate question of diplomatic fencing to be done as to be sure that Japan be put into the wrong to make the first bad move, overt move. The question was how we should maneuver him into position of firing the first shot without allowing too much danger to overtake ourselves. So FDR knew that Pearl Harbor was vulnerable to attack. Harry Elmer Barnes said, and I quote, "The American government knew that they were vulnerable at Pearl Harbor. It was at Pearl Harbor in 1932 that the United States Navy conducted maneuvers to test the chances of success of an attack from the sea. They discovered that Pearl Harbor was vulnerable from as close as 60 miles off the shore," unquote. So, that being said, at that point, the president and other Illuminati military leaders knew as early as 1932 that the Japanese attack would come at Pearl Harbor. As you know, Roosevelt, Japanese elite, and Churchill planned Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s, 10 years earlier. This was a test run. So Admiral Robert Theobald, commander of all destroyers at Pearl Harbor, he detailed his conclusion about the surprise attack. He said, and I quote, "President Roosevelt forced Japan to war and enticed them to initiate hostilities by holding the Pacific Fleet in Hawaii waters as invitation to that attack. The plans to use Pearl Harbor as a bait started in June 1940, and Roosevelt, Marshall, Army Chief of Staff, and Stark, Admiral, Chief of Naval Operations, knew about Pearl Harbor 21 hours before the attack," unquote. For me, nothing changed today. Council of Foreign Relations, your Joint Chief of Staff, every single one of them, haven't stopped ever since. So not only then did FDR and all the high governments and military officials, they knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor a full day before. They knew it 10 months earlier. So now the American ambassador to Tokyo, Joseph Grew, he's one of the first to officially discover it, Pearl Harbor was actually the intended attack of the Japanese. He even sent a correspondence to the U.S. State Department on January 27, 1941. I'll quote you part of that. "The Peruvian minister has informed a member of my staff that he had heard from many sources, including a Japanese source, that he had of trouble breaking out between the United States and Japan. The Japanese intended to make a surprise attack against Pearl Harbor," unquote. So, as it works today in Vietnam, and Korea, and Iraq, and every single cotton-picking war we've ever been in, this time, FDR and the State Department knowingly, willingly, purposely sacrificed the lives of thousands of American men and guaranteed the destruction of dozens of American military vessels. Harry Elmer Barnes said, and I quote, "The American government had reasoned that the aircraft carriers have an extremely important role to play in the war, type of war they would be waged in the Pacific theater. So all of the aircraft carriers moved out of Pearl Harbor, and all the less valuable battleships were left behind." You know that not one single aircraft carrier was at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941? Eight of the nine battleships of the Pacific Fleet were left at Pearl and were either destroyed or seriously damaged. Now, knowing they had six phases to bring us to a new world order by 1945, somebody didn't want that to happen because it was too early. The Third World War would still have to be played out. Our progressives have always tried to jump ahead of the Illuminati schedule. Huh? There had to be three world wars. It's not time yet to put America into a dictatorship. Too early. So now the president, the State Department, in this war, had advanced warning of the attack in Pearl Harbor. And chose to do nothing. So, as a result of this plan by our own government, and European government, and Japanese government, and the Vatican, 2,341 American servicemen gave their lives, and 1,143 were seriously wounded in this attack. Admiral Kimmel said, and I quote, "We were unready for the Japanese attack in Pearl Harbor because President Roosevelt's plans required that no word be sent to alert the fleet in Hawaii." So, the Honorable Oliver Lillington, he was a member of Churchill's war cabinet. He declared in an address to the American Chamber of Commerce in London on June 24, 1944. He said, and I quote, "America provoked the Japanese to such an extent that the Japanese were forced to attack Pearl Harbor. It is a travesty of history to say that America was forced into the war," unquote. So, how were we, as American people, our families, before, manipulated by the hidden agenda of the power brokers for the United States side in our entry in World War II? Well, that can be summed up by using the words of President Roosevelt himself. What better place to go? Roosevelt said, I quote, "In spite of the risk involved, however, in letting the Japanese fire the first shot, we realized that in order to have the full support of the American people, it was desirable to make sure that the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt in anyone's mind as to who were the aggressors," unquote. President FDR, who was a Freemason. So American money, our money, put Hitler in power. And you know that FDR, he was the one, not Nixon. FDR was the one that bankrupted us. Where we have no money today as of that. We have none. We're taking off the gold standard. You can no longer trade a $20 bill with a $20 gold piece after that. He made us slaves by use of the birth certificate in the third 70-year bank cycle, 1929. Supposed to end 1999. Always 70 years. Social Security number, your serial number. Birth certificate is held at the IMF. Social insurance provided in 1920 for slaves. Family, all this is true. Woodrow Wilson and Mandel House worked that out. Birth certificate is bonded for $1 million. Held in the IMF in your name. In a bank account. Accepted for value is what it's called. Take it off the gold standard. It means your money not backed by anything. War Powers Act. Everything is part of this. Not one thing is not. Now, I can go on to talk about tomorrow, the planned defeat in Korea and Vietnam. But today was primarily about World War II. What really happened. And we know now that World War II was about establishing the State of Israel. Establishing the State of Israel was to lead into World War III. In the meantime, communism was set up as the next alternate enemy. That's how it worked out in 1950s, 1960s. After communism, here comes Afghanistan to set up Islamic enemy. There we go. Is all set up just that way. That's what Afghanistan was all about, for the Russians to establish the Islamic threat. at CIA, ISI, Saudi intelligence, Iranian intelligence, Turkish intelligence, worked together to set up the jihads that we're having to deal with today. There's no Al-Qaeda. There's no ISIS. It's a lie. It's the CIA operatives. Now, you've got Arabs that think they're actually working for Mohammed. And you got their leaders that think they're working for Mohammed. But you got another group that knows they're working for the United States and MI5, MI6, Mossad, that the others down here below don't know. They don't know. They're being used as suicide bombers. They're doing it for Allah. They have no clue. They're doing it for Lucifer. And they're being fooled by their own people. Saddam Hussein, Freemason. Hassan, Freemason. All of them over there, Freemasons. That's a connector. On all of them. Every one of them. They're using the country's ideology to cause people to fight each other. It's worked on us perfectly. It's working on them. They have to establish a threat. We go after it. That's exactly what's been done today all along the way. So after Islam comes space. The extraterrestrial threat. That's yet to come. World War III was planned 1871. And when Zionism, as I mentioned in that quote, and Islam defeat each other, kill each other, and all countries around them, that's when the old Roman Empire will be revived. The Holy Roman Empire will surface as default winner. So who is Zionism, Jacob, descendants? Who is Islam, descendants of Ishmael? Who is Ishmael and Jacob? They're offspring of Abraham. Oh. That's a slap in God's face. You see us working out in the bigger, bigger, bigger picture. And you already know who wins. You already know the end because it's going by the book. Exactly. I've just finished telling you the past 2 hours. Exactly how they put it together. This is how Satan operates in our world. Family, he don't fly around on a broomstick, picking and choosing who he wants to damn and curse and tempt and all this. I mean, he's laid into our governments. But when the tribulations come, God's going to root him and his minions out like the roto-rooter you ain't never seen. It's called the seven seals, the seven bowls, and the seven trumpets, seven bowls. Armageddon. The wicked will be removed, and the millennium will begin. They're going to try to fool you before that to make a fake World War III, a fake false prophet, a fake Antichrist, to bring in the real Antichrist and a real false prophet. The one named Yeshua, son of Emmanuel, is the extraterrestrial next threat. He will dissolve that threat and become a hero. That's coming. Right now you probably can't place that maybe, but that's what's going to happen. That's why the Illuminati is going to be identified. That's why they're becoming public knowledge, so they'll be defeated. But the ones that defeat them will not be the good guys after all. See, that's why you're hearing a lot about the Illuminati now. They want you to know. They want you to know about the bankers. They want you to know about the Illuminati, the reptilians, and all this other nonsense. So when they defeat them, you'll think, well, they're the heroes that defeated them. It will not be true. Jesus is the only one at Armageddon that you can trust. I've told you what's getting ready to happen. It's all documented. Family, we're at the end of the program. Whew. And that really, honestly, I have not scratched the surface, really. Actually. I just barely got to the end of it today. But I wanted to cover that part about Pearl Harbor. I mean, there's a lot more Pearl Harbor, but you got the main crust of it. So, family, we are at the end of the program, and I want to thank you all for coming by. And we'll continue tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow. And tonight I got Bible study, 8 to 9. And we'll talk about Jesus Christ. We'll talk about the King James Bible. We'll talk about a lot of things tonight, Bible study 8 to 9. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll continue on about how they operate in this world we have. So you'll know what's happening. So y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And also remind you before we continue or end here that my broadcaster played in HighPointRadio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. John Kirkler, and HighPointRadio.net. Also, my website is WatchmanForJesus.com, WatchmanForJesus.com. My Facebook is WatchmanForJesus. Welcome to join, or just drop by and visit. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Every day.